All right. Mr. Bruni, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for waiting. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My full name is Stephen Allen Bruni. My ABC number is 037139.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for the 31-412A hearing to consider whether to parole, absolute discharge, or whether to continue on home arrest status. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. Obviously, this is a telephonic hearing, but in the room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. The Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Bruni, because you were granted home arrest on December 11, 2017, and released from confinement on March 29, 2018, I will begin this hearing with a brief summary of your case, because we went through quite a bit when you were granted home arrest. In short, according to my research in Ames, you are 62 years old, is that correct, sir?
Currently, I turned 63 years old December 31st.
Oh, wow, I just barely missed that. I must have had paperwork that arrived after that. Okay, so you are 63 years old?
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
You were previously charged with, convicted, and sentenced to 14 counts involving kidnapping and sexual assaults of three victims beginning in October of 1979. According to your Community Corrections Progress Report, you currently live in Tucson, Arizona, correct?
Yes, sir.
You were assigned to the Correctional Health Care Company's Community Accountability Program?
Yes, sir.
And the Moral Recognition Therapy Program?
Yes, sir.
Your treatment is, at least according to the last report, still ongoing?
Yes, sir.
And the CHC facilitator is pleased with your progress. You've had no positives with drug or alcohol testing?
No, sir.
According to your progress report, you've been compliant with all of your home arrest conditions. And we certainly commend you for that.
Thank you, sir.
You've been going through, and at least at the time of the report, going through the application process with Social Security Disability. Has that worked out for you?
Right now, I'm waiting for their ruling on my appeal. I've recently had an attorney volunteer to take my case after the ruling on my appeal, sir.
Well, I'm glad to hear you have legal support. I recognize that can be a very bureaucratic process.
Yes, what I've been running across, sir.
Also, another program I'm familiar with from my past history as a student coach, it looks like that you were receiving some help from Arizona Vocational Rehab.
I have been approved and will be receiving that in the very near future, sir.
Well, I've had good luck with them along the way, so I'm hoping the best for you.
Thank you, sir.
Seen some good things happen through referrals to vocab. This appears to be your seventh hearing before the board and your second hearing since you've been granted home arrest status, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I met you folks in June of last year.
Yes, my last sentence on this summary was you appeared before this board on June 6, 2018.
Yes, sir.
So that's my summary. So, Mr. Bruni, tell us about your progress since you've been released from prison on home arrest status and how you've been doing in these last 6 months.
Well, in the last 6 months, well, since I've been released in March, I've put in over 700 applications for jobs. I've gone to over 300 job interviews riding a bicycle, getting around Tucson, learning the city all over again. My past, my age, and my disabilities have shot me down for every one of the jobs. Just this weekend, the American Truckers Union shot me down for grocery delivery because I'm still on parole, quote unquote. If I was on released, on absolute discharge, they would consider putting me on a truck driving job within the city, delivering groceries, vegetables, and fruits. Everything else that I've applied for, with my disabilities, I'm unable to hold employment. I've been on my own. I've been purchasing, save up the money, I've purchased bicycles for $25 and under. I rehabilitate them and sell them for $50 or more, not often more. And I've been making a little money on my spare time doing that. The rest of the time, I've been doing everything I possibly can to try and find a job. I've been staying out of trouble. I have my own house I share with two other roommates. We're doing real good. We get along well. I've been working on a car, trying to help a guy get his car up and running. I've been doing some work down at Bicus, a local community bicycle recycling area. Well, it's volunteer work, but I'm able to get discounts on parts down there that I need for my bikes. But I work to help out people get on bikes. A lot of people haven't ridden them before, or it's been a while. Other than that, sir, I've been going through the process with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation through their evaluators, Social Security through their evaluators. I've, on my own, sought out PTSD counseling with my doctor, Connie. Once a week, I go see her. I'm dealing with, I didn't have a very good childhood, and I was a real idiot before I came to prison, and 38 years in prison. Day by day process, but I'm adjusting well. I don't have any issues with anybody out here. I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm working on getting surgery on my back to get it fixed, surgery on my right knee to get it fixed, but I can't really do that while I'm on parole or home arrest because of the recovery time. As soon as I do get those operations, I should be more ambulatory, able to stand up longer, able to sit longer. Once I can do that, I can get myself my business license, and the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation is going to help me get a little wood shop running together. I'm a woodcrafter by trade. My wooden toys have won international design and toy contests, even while I was in prison. Better Homes and Gardens Wood Magazine has published my designs and my toys. The ones that won their design toy contest, and the ones that I designed for them. I was working for them for a while. I'm still doing blueprints. I wrote a rather long book in prison, science fiction fantasy book. Amazon.com has expressed interest in it, so I'm in the process of typing it up and getting it ready for editing. They said that they would like to take a look at it prior to publishing it as an ebook. So I'm using Dragon Dictate to type it up. It's taken a while. I've never used a computer before, never used a cell phone before, but I'm learning it. The rules have been explained to me. I don't violate them. I don't violate the laws. I'm an old man. I don't play games. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm just out here doing it one day at a time, putting my life together. I would like the board, if they would, to seriously consider an absolute discharge on my behalf so that I can go ahead and keep on working on doing what I'm doing. I'm doing good.
Well, Mr. Brody, I'm only speaking as one board member, as we are all independent voting members. But I think it's safe to say that we tend to graduate individuals from home arrest to regular parole to eventually absolute discharge if they're found worthy, for the lack of a better word. So let me ask you this question. What do you stand to gain should this board vote to graduate you to regular parole?
Well, a lot of restrictions would be released from me. It would allow me more flexibility to search farther out for jobs, opportunities would come my way without the home arrest or restrictions placed on me.
And how are you doing riding around on a bicycle with back issues? I know it's got to be challenging.
Well, I was kind of hoping you would ask that. My neurosurgeon and spinal specialist are both actually enjoying the fact that the curvature of the spine in the position that I ride the bike in relaxes the issue I have. I have no disc between L4 and L5. It's just bone grinding on bone. But as I lean forward on the bike, I'm not using my knee other than a hinge. My ankles are what's pedaling. As I lean forward on the bike, I have a bike that has a rear suspension on it. So riding the bike is really, the only time it's painful is when I get off of it or get on it.
Again, this is as a point of encouragement, but that is interesting as far as the physiology and what your doctors are saying. So I am glad that you have a means of transportation. Do you have any future ability to drive a vehicle?
I do. The parole board was gracious enough to offer me back my ability to get a license in June. In July, I received my driver's license. One of the people that I share a house with has a vehicle that I borrow once in a while since I have a driver's license. I've also driven some of the older vets in the trailer park where I live around to their appointments because they don't have vehicles. I've been trying to get a driving job, which would be okay for me, but they ask for a one-year driving record minimum and the ability to pass a DOT background check. Now, I tell them up front my history, and they tell me up front they can't hire me.
Well, Mr. Booney, I recognize that you have a tough predicament. Certainly, we want to see people succeed in their supervised release, and I recognize you have some challenges. Personally, I'm hoping that you'll get some more support from vocab, or at least in placement. I'm glad that we were able to discuss a little bit of the physical issues, because I know that there's some reference to that here in your corrections progress report. How is the living situation with roommates? You made reference to that.
Yes, sir. I have one male and one female roommate. We all have three separate bedrooms where we're staying. Doing really good, actually. We all three get along. Between the three of us, we help each other out in the different issues that come up. Anything that comes up, we're able to deal with. It's actually been quite a bit of fun. It's humorous and some of the things we come up with, because we are from three different backgrounds. We recently got ourselves a kitten, which just livened the house up real good.
That's good to hear. You received a really good letter from Ms. Martin.
Yes, sir. She's the other roommate.
Also some letters that came to us from DES, I think regarding vocab.
Yes, sir.
Another letter from Mr. Is it Marcel?
Yes, sir. Ron and Wendy Marcel.
And they're not roommates?
No, sir. They live in Rochester, New York.
And what's your relationship with them? They wrote quite a detailed letter.
I met Ron and Wendy Marcel in 1982 when I started this prison sentence in 1979. I was convicted in 1980. I met them 2 years later. We started out as pen pals. Ms. Marcel came down from New York to visit me when I was in the Iowa prison system. We became boyfriend, girlfriend. And then we realized, you know, the amount of time I was doing that wasn't very smart. So we broke up, but we remained friends. Her and her husband got together. They voluntarily adopted his nieces, and I ended up being uncles to them. These two young ladies have been very physically abused, and so have I, so we knew where to, how we could talk to one another, and I helped them work through some of their issues. I've known Ron and Wendy since 82. We've been more than friends. We have a saying in prison, you find out who your family is, you know, in the first 20 years. Find out who your friends are in the first 10 years. Anybody that sticks with you past that first and second 10-year sentence, that's family all the way through. I've called them family for quite a few years.
That certainly sounds positive, and it's nice to know that you have some support. It's unfortunate they're not in your immediate community, but it's still support. Can we ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, sir?
Okay.
Any questions from fellow board members? Mr. Brody, I think we've had a nice, concise little hearing, so we'd like to hear from your parole officer.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
In the case of these types of hearings, we don't have to swear you in, but can you state your name for the record?
Selwyn King.
And sir, what can you share with the board today?
Just, you know, to expand on my report and what Mr. Brundy has said also, you know, he has had a lot of challenges come up, not only in the last 6 months, but in the whole time he's been out. But he's definitely, you know, tackled each of those problems admirably and has certainly not let any of them deter him in any way as far as, you know, finding housing, finding employment. The miles he's put in on that bicycle alarm me, to be frank. I think it would have killed me, to be honest. He's always busy too. He's definitely not sitting around waiting for things to come to him. He's filling his time very well, especially with the bicycle repair thing that he's doing on the side. Has not only been of help to him, but it's also helped several other of our offenders that have got released and come here to the reentry center. And they say, you know, they're looking for a cheap bicycle. We're able to refer them over to him. And $20, $25, $30 later, they've got a bicycle within a couple of days of getting out. So that's been very good. We're also kind of in the beginning of looking at having him help facilitate a bicycle program here at the center. I've just started talking with the program manager about that here. But that bicycle repair thing is definitely one of his skill sets. His woodwork and carpentry skills, which I've seen a portfolio of, are an amazingly high standard, very, very impressive work. So with all of that, I can definitely see him progressing well as far as employment, specifically self-employment goes. And it really seems the only thing holding up the voc rehab is there's a waiting list. And I've spoken to the representative. He's more than qualified to get the assistance, but it's just where he is in line. So that's the only thing holding him back there. But as I said, he's filling his time well with volunteer work and things like that, and just helping people out in general, staying busy, medical appointments, and also, you know, still trying to obtain employment if possible within the limits of his current disability.
I forgot to commend him for his craftsmanship and ingenuity. I was impressed with the woodwork and the bicycle repair. I hope he's listening right now.
I am, sir.
And it's unfortunate that there's a waiting list with vocab.
They said they're tackling that pretty well, so hopefully he doesn't have to wait too long.
Okay, Officer King, we don't ask for recommendations, but in general, I will ask, how do you think he's doing?
Very well. There's been no negative encounters at all or issues come up the entire time he's been out. We're working together quite well, especially with regards to his itinerary. with medical appointments. Everybody knows how those are. When you get one, you've got to go. You don't have, you know, a lot of wiggle room with medical facilities, but we work really well with that, and so that's progressing well. I just see a positive continuation for his reentry into society, however you choose to allow that to happen.
Okay, thank you. And that's certainly good input, and we appreciate it. Again, any questions from fellow board members to our good officer? Okay, Mr. Booney, are you still on the phone?
Yes, sir.
We're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion and votes on this case?
Yes, sir, there's a couple of things I'd like to mention if I could.
Go right ahead, sir.
1979, I was a 23-year-old drug addict, alcoholic, psychologically messed up kid from what had happened to me in my prior years to that time. In my stupidity, I went out and I hurt innocent people. During my time in prison, my early years, we sought out reasons why I did that so I would never do it again. In the Iowa prison system throughout the 1980s, we started up, myself, Dr. Hassad, and two other inmates, the first ever sex offender treatment program. 2 years after we went through it with Dr. Hassad, myself and Bill Davis taught it for another 2 years to the inmates in the Iowa State prison system. I know what happened, why it happened, when it happened. I know all the contributing factors to it. Drugs, alcohol, lying, having no kind of morals whatsoever were all contributing factors of the many contributing factors that allowed me to do what I did. That was when I was 23 years old. I'm 63 years old now. I am no longer that stupid kid. I've educated myself, matured, found out why, found out the issues, dealt with them, and moved on. I apologize most profusely to those of my victims who have never had the opportunity to do so, and I understand the laws behind that. I can't change what I did. Saying I'm sorry will not change what I did. But letting you good folks understand some of my basic simple premise. What happened back then will never ever happen again. Simple as that. I know to look for help if I have any kind of issue. I don't have any issues right now other than just trying to put a life together and taking it one day at a time, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bruni, and thank you for your personal sense of accountability. At this stage of hearings, at least when I'm a panel lead, I tend not to rehash the incident offense over and over again because we arrived at a certain area, but your accountability for the past and thoughtfulness towards the victims is very meaningful, and it sounds like you've been on quite a journey, especially going back to your early days in Iowa to where we've arrived now. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you and your parole officer will just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, in short, I am confident that Mr. Bruni has arrived at the level where I believe that we could safely transition him to regular parole. I recognize that he's seeking absolute discharge, and in my own opinion, it's early in that process. It's certainly a possibility for his future, and I recognize that it takes time, but to encourage him, it's certainly a possibility in his future. And I think he's done a pretty fine job under home arrest, especially considering some of the challenges he's confronted with. But that's where I'll begin the discussion. Okay, hearing no further input from my colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and make sure that I get the language correct, but that is to grant regarding Mr. Stephen Bruni, ADC number 037139, to grant regular parole, and if I'm not mistaken, the language is still to deny absolute, pardon me, to deny home arrest and absolute discharge. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Great. Just 1 second. Release type granted. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Honorable Mr. Johnson, and now Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, release type granted is 412A. General parole denied is absolute discharge. And I don't think we have a separate box for 411HA, so I'm just going to write in.
Yeah, I just scribble.
Sorry. Yeah, home arrest.
Yeah.
Home arrest. Conditions of release in 412A. Now, keep in mind that when we granted home arrest, we asked for many of these same conditions, but we're talking regular parole at this point. So, for the sake of process, again, we check follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. If I'm not mistaken, all sex offender conditions apply. I'll ask right now, Mr. Bruni, you are registrable, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
I just want to make sure I check that. I know you're going through this. I'm just going to check it for the sake of continuance, but needs assessment and referral. And I know you're going through the process right now. No alcohol use. Random test for drugs and alcohol, and I believe that's at the parole officer's discretion. There are no IMS issues. We granted the use of a motor vehicle the last time. You only have a living arrangement. I will go ahead and check for the sake of policy, no contact with the victim or the family. I didn't see any restitution. I'll ask you again, Mr. Bruni, do you have restitution?
I do not, sir.
Okay, there's no sense checking that. Must abide by institutional rules and partake in available programming as directed, whatever that programming may or may not be. And I will ask my colleagues, because this always gets a little boring for me. Are we still asking for supervision fees? $65?
Yeah.
Okay. $65. After 60 days, and that may be something that you're already paying for, Mr. Bruni. Are you paying supervision fees right now?
I have not been making any money to where I could afford to do that yet.
Okay. Well, I put $65 in 60 days, and, you know, if there are issues, I'm sure it'll be pointed out by your parole officer.
Yeah.
Any further input from my colleagues? Okay, Mr. Bruni, I recognize that you're on a journey to seek absolute discharge, but we have graduated you to a general parole, so we wish you the best on your continued post-incarceration journey. Sounds like you've done a fine job under home arrest, and we wish you continued success under regular parole status.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir, well, this should bring our hearing to a close. Thank you, fellow board members, and thank you, Mr. Bruni. Thank you, Officer Keene.
Thank you, sir.
You all have a good day.